This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 17th. I'm Tom Rogers. Today, we conclude our series on the presidential candidates and rural issues. We go to a border town and discuss the immigration issue. We'll also get a weekend forecast from Ed Kieser, first to look at today's news. Illinois State Treasurer is placing more money into the state's banks, but at least one banker says it's not necessary at this time for his institution. On the other hand, the president of Fisher National Bank in Champaign County, Mike Estes, says the move is worthwhile. Treasurer Alexi Janulius says offering banks deposits of up to $25 million apiece will help ease a liquidity crisis that's frozen credit, making it tough for many banks to float short-term loans to businesses. Estes says his bank has not faced the borrowing problems that other banks have found, but the state's deposits would offer an important alternative.
At 3.38 on one-year money, that appears to be competitive right now, with just as a comparison with Federal Home Loan Advance. So it will be one other option, one other tool that certainly won't hurt us.
Janulia says besides helping businesses, the state will get a higher rate of return from the $1 billion in bank deposits than it does from other investments. Illinois regulators have issued a conditional license to Countrywide Home Loans so the company can meet its obligations under a national settlement over deceptive mortgage practices. Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation officials say the company can't offer mortgages to new customers. It'll also be monitored each month to make sure it complies with the settlement. But Countrywide officials say the decision won't affect its status in Illinois because most of its loans originate through a separate subsidiary, Countrywide Bank. That's regulated by the federal government and not the state. Countrywide spokesman Jumana Bowen says the company is open for business in Illinois. The manager charged with turning around the struggling Champaign County nursing home says progress is slowly being made. County officials have been putting more pressure on the home to reduce its debt and operate in the black. Earlier this month, the county board committee decided not to forgive $1.3 million in loans. But in his report to an advisory committee set up to oversee the turnaround, outside manager Mike Scavato says there's been a small jump in the number of patients at the nursing home over the past few months. That's had an effect on both expense and revenue.
There's been some increase in expense because of the increase in census, but overall, you see the net losses without property taxes are going down.
Scavato says not only has the headcount risen by about 10 patients to 180, but the mix of patients is also gradually changing. He says the nursing home is recovering from a period earlier this year where they were not allowed to admit Medicare or Medicaid patients because of an ongoing investigation. Residents of Champaign's Garden Hills neighborhood are beginning to learn about Unit 4's plans to enlarge Garden Hills Grade School and convert it into a magnet school. About a dozen residents of the Northside neighborhood met at the school last night to hear details from school officials. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
District Superintendent Arthur Culver told the gathering they want to add new classrooms to Garden Hills, helping to fulfill a condition of the district's consent decree. The school would also get a new gym and community meeting room. Garden Hills School would then become a magnet school with special programs, still to be decided, meant to attract students from across the district. Former Champaign Mayor Bill Bland is president of the Garden Hills Neighborhood Association, which hosted the meeting. He says the plans sound promising.
I've lived here so long and I saw seven schools close, and all of a sudden we're not going to build another school and replace one. We're going to actually upgrade an existing facility. That makes tremendous sense to me.
Residents at the meeting had questions about the possible focus of the magnet program, whether it would still have room for neighborhood children, Culver says it would, and the countywide school sales tax that's expected to pay for the project. Champaign County voters will cast ballots on the tax question November 4th. If approved, it would finance the expansion at Garden Hills and a similar project at Booker T. Washington School. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The FBI is investigating alleged voter fraud by an activist group known as ACORN. As Amanda Vinicky reports, the controversy has spurred Illinois Republicans into action.
ACORN's been accused of registering cartoon characters to vote, signing people up multiple times, and otherwise falsifying voter registrations. ACORN has an Illinois chapter, though no allegations have surfaced of any such activity in this state. Still, the Illinois Republican Party's attorney, Brian Sheehan, says it's cause for local elections officials to be extra vigilant.
the local election authorities have an obligation to make sure that people who are registered to vote are real people, that they're alive, that they have a pulse, that they are the correct age.
Sheehan sent a letter on behalf of the Illinois GOP to county clerks in Chicago and surrounding areas requesting they be on alert. Although Acorn's believed to have reached out to voters more likely to vote Democratic, Sheehan insists this isn't a partisan ploy. He says it's about fair elections. Calls seeking comment to state and national Acorn offices have gone unreturned. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
After years of failed attempts, the Chicago suburb of Rosemont has once again become a possible site for a casino. Mike Ree has that story.
Rosemont is one of seven Chicago-area towns now competing for the state's long-dormant 10th casino license. Gary Mack is a spokesperson for the village. He says board members this week agreed to sell some property to a developer that wants to build a casino there, but Mack says Rosemont is not involved in the bid otherwise.
Really, from this point forward, Rosemont pretty much has no need to have any discussions with these folks, and I wouldn't anticipate there would be any.
One of Rosemont's earlier attempts to secure a casino was blocked in 2001 by the Illinois Gaming Board. It suspected investors had ties to organized crime. This time, the developer that's interested in a Rosemont casino is offering the state $435 million for the license. According to figures released yesterday, the amount is nearly double the next highest offer. I'm Mike Ree.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Today we conclude our extended look at the presidential race from the perspective of rural America. AM 580 has teamed up with public radio stations across the country to bring you the series. With the election just around the corner, many rural communities from Oklahoma to New York to Illinois are hoping the next president will stem the flow of illegal immigration with beefed up border security. But doing so means untangling the web of communities along the U.S.-Mexico border. As Marco Grajeda reports from New Mexico, come November, the fate of those communities is in the hands of local voters.
Maria, who lives in a small house in southern New Mexico, knows too well the impact of increased border security. She was recently separated from her husband, who was apprehended by immigration agents on his way to work. Now, Maria says her husband is too afraid to return because he may face felony charges, and she's torn between joining her husband in Mexico or staying in the only country her American children know.
They're very worried. They try and motivate me to stay here, but I don't know what's going to happen with us. I'm desperate right now. I almost don't have any money left. I'm worried about how I can continue on for them.
In recent years, stories like Maria's have become common in largely Hispanic communities along the border. The Secure Fence Act of 2006 called for the construction of up to 850 miles of vehicle barriers and fencing.
This is approximately 15 feet high. It goes down about 6 feet.
Senior Border Patrol Officer for the El Paso sector, Martin Hernandez, describes a new portion of fence constructed in southern New Mexico.
What we have here is a double fence type structure here, a double mesh fencing, which is what we consider the pedestrian fence. Including with that is the vehicle barrier within the same fence, which is nothing like you see right here is a pipe with cement.
The original barbed wire barrier, which may stop a cow from crossing, flimsily stands about 20 feet north of the new fencing. The federal government's efforts to further tighten security along the southern border have not stopped with the construction of the fence. Along the border, agents also have new equipment, including cameras capable of getting a close-up of a person's face standing a mile away. Security measures at international checkpoints have also been tightened, to the discontent of many legal crossers who usually take about 2 hours to cross the U.S.-Mexico international bridges. El Paso Mayor John Cook, a proponent of comprehensive immigration reform, says what he worries about is the impact tighter security measures will have on his community's economy.
They don't even realize the maquila industry that we have, where you have people who live on the U.S. side of the border and go to work in Mexico every day and have to put up with two-hour waiting lines on the bridge to get back in. Right now, I am trying to have this region become competitive with places like China and Vietnam and India. And when you set up obstacles to trade and you add to the cost of delivering goods from one side of the bridge to the other, it takes away from our competitiveness.
At a coffee shop in El Paso, Texas, a border community with a large American-born Hispanic population, Many say politicians in Washington and voters across the country have not listened to the concerns of border residents. Raquel Urban agrees.
When you're, in the middle of the country, it's easier to disconnect with them and make decisions that are very biased and not well thought out.
But Arizona Senator and Republican presidential nominee John McCain touts his ties to the border region and calls immigration reform a top priority.
Because we have the obligation to address a federal issue from a federal standpoint. I will reach across the aisle again and work in a bipartisan fashion. We must proceed with a temporary worker program that is verifiable and truly temporary. We must also understand that there are 12 million people who are here, and they are here illegally. And they are God's children. They are God's children, and they will be treated in a humane fashion.
The Republican senator says the millions of immigrants in the country illegally should be made eligible for citizenship, but they must pay a fee, take a test, and go to the end of the line. McCain has unsuccessfully tried to push immigration legislation through Congress twice and voted for Bush's stepped-up security. Obama, who also voted for the security fence, has since backpedaled and says he wants to consult with local communities. Obama now emphasizes cracking down on the employers of undocumented workers.
You need a president who will pursue genuine solutions day in and day out in a consistent way. And that's my commitment to you. We need immigration reform that will secure our borders and punish employers who exploit immigrant labor. But we also need reform that finally brings the 12 million people who are here illegally out of the shadows, requiring them to take steps to become legal citizens, putting them on a pathway to citizenship.
Of course, not everyone living in communities along the southern border is opposed to the fence or the government's focus on tighter security measures. Marcia Sturman, who chairs the Republican Women of Otero County in southern New Mexico, says the country's leaders should take care of American citizens and close the borders.
And then we need to get a handle on who's here illegally and escort them to the border and say adios. I think that America's in trouble, and if we keep letting this train go, it's going to be a runaway train, and we won't be able to stop it.
Sturman says she would like for McCain to have a stronger stance on immigration, but she says Obama would simply open the borders for anyone interested in coming in. According to Sturman, illegal immigrants have a huge negative effect on rural communities, and she worries they might be using false documents to vote. For the Public Radio Rural Issues Project, I'm Marco Grajeda in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says we may see some rain as early as this afternoon and through tonight, but the weekend should be nice, even a chance of frost on Saturday night. For today, mostly sunny early in Champaign-Urbana, then becoming cloudy with a chance of a few passing showers in the afternoon, the high 58 degrees. In northwest Illinois today, mostly cloudy with scattered showers. Elsewhere in the northern and central parts of the state, as well as northwest and west central Indiana, increasing clouds with scattered showers arriving. Still partly sunny, mostly sunny in the south and in eastern Indiana. Highs today ranging from 53 degrees in northwest Illinois to 65 far south. For tonight, cloudy over the north and central sections of Illinois and Indiana with a few widely scattered showers in the evening, then clearing from west to east after midnight. In the south, mostly cloudy with a few isolated showers. Lows from 34 in northwest Illinois to around 50 near Lake Michigan. The low in Champaign-Urbana, 38 degrees with a light north wind. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and highs from 58 north to 65 in southern Illinois, 62 in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow night, clear with scattered frost forming in our area, the low 40 in town, mid to upper 30s in rural locations. Sunny Sunday and breezy with a high of 72 degrees. Monday, partly sunny and a high of 65. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.